Sevens was, it's for your early 20s.
We ever tempted?
Couldn't have thought of anything worse. First of all, my engine was not my strong point. It would have had to be in those very early years.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Rugby.
And a very good afternoon. This is Off the Ball Saturday, continuing here on News Talk. John Duggan with you 3 to 5. Today's Saturday panel is about rugby. Now, it's in association with Dove Men Plus Care Upgrade to Dove Men 72-hour advanced deodorant. Tough on sweat, not on skin. So we're delighted to be having in studio today the former Irish internationals Luke Fitzgerald and Jackie Shields and the rugby journalist Brendan Fanning. Brendan Fanning, the men's Six Nations. Have you got any sense of where Ireland's cycle is? You know, with the Joe Schmidt cycle, 2018 won the Grand Slam. We were almost found out then the following year. It just kind of then petered out at the World Cup in Japan. We've had such an amazing run under Andy Farrell, won down in New Zealand, came so close in the World Cup, even though it was another quarterfinal exit, won the Grand Slam last year, won the title this year. Is there any rebuild? I know he's going to the Lions. Is there any rebuild required from an Irish point of view, to use the phrase that Jackie hates?
Yeah, you're going to need to get some new players in there, and you're going to need to create a bit of depth, particularly at prop forward. Mick Milne, I would love to see involved at the top level, and I know he was injured at awkward times. I'd have him in there in a heartbeat. I think Keane Healy has done an unbelievable job. I'm pretty sure this is Keane Healy's 19th season of professional rugby, which is scary. And Milne is, believe it or not, 25. Like, I remember him playing for Ross Grey in the Schools Cup, and thinking, he looks like a different creature now. But they really need to get him in. We're not doing too badly on the other side, and the return from New Zealand of Ollie Yeager is a big plus. Just speaking of prop forwards, we were talking outside about the Schools Cup. This lad, Niall Smith, the Black Rock tight head. If I was Andy Farrell, I'd be asking him what he's doing for the summer. Does he want to go down to South Africa? He is absolutely outstanding. And I can't wait to see that guy playing senior rugby. He really, really is. He's huge. He has the capacity to get much bigger. And he will be, hopefully, a huge success.
So there are obviously positions where we have strong situations, like back row or whatever, but where are we in need of more depth, as it were, because that might be the thing for the Australian World Cup in 2027, that we'll need obviously our first 15, but the second layer, maybe even the third layer.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it? Because there's obviously a few guys who've been kind of airlifted in, your Lowe's and your Hansons and these guys. So yeah, you do wonder, but look, I took a lot of confidence from the likes of, you know, obviously with Jimmy O'Brien, who's bad, you know, took a bad injury, so was out of the Six Nations. But Hugo Keenan is a local. He's young enough as well. I thought Calvin Ash had an excellent Six Nations, actually. I thought he was really good. It's a kind of a position because you don't touch the ball as much on the wing oftentimes. Ireland's game plan may be a little bit more than other teams, but it's another one like out half where I was thinking with Crowley, like, will Nash try a bit too much? Will he try a bit too hard? Because you've only got a couple of chances on the ball. He looked really composed, really comfortable in there, made lots of good decisions. Very unlucky, but it was great. Like, I mean, you love seeing him trying to end a fella in Twickenham, but obviously he didn't come out the right side of that collision. But I wouldn't be as downtrodden on that part of it. I think still see lots of, you know, talent in the provinces. You know, I still think, you know, the likes of Stockdale, you know, Balakoon, these guys, there has to be more in them. I think a good coach should be able to get more out of those people. So I actually think there's probably more depth than we think. We're just not seeing it at the moment, I think. And a few injuries as well haven't helped. So, yeah, I'm still bullish on this Irish team. I think naturally over the course of this next 4 years, I think there'll be new bodies coming in. You can already see a few guys who look to be fairly talented, I think. And obviously, you know, those 20s teams have been very, very successful, only just missed out on...
Are there any players coming through from the 20s?
Hard to see someone into the Irish team.
Yeah, like, or, yeah. Like a few years.
I think it's too far, because I do remember in my era, my 20s team, all those guys who won the Six Nations all got professional contracts. So, but only a few of them really came through, you know. Earls and Healy were the kind of standouts, obviously. But I don't know if I'd be thinking along those lines. I think you still have to develop a little bit. You know, if you're 19, 18, 19, 20, you know, make up the body of those groups generally. You know, at international level particularly, you have to have a body type. I always think if it, you know, becomes more and more specialised all the way through. You look, the perfect example of that to my mind would be like the likes of Scott Penny, who is a brilliant interprovincial player for Leinster, but probably just a little bit too small to play international rugby or, you know, cup rugby really for Leinster as well. So you have to wait and see who maybe grows a little bit and who manages themselves through, who gets opportunities in the provinces and that. But you'd have to think there'll be a few guys coming through those 20s outfits, I think. But yeah, we wait and see, I think, on who develops.
Is there an imbalance in the provinces where Leinster have a lot of strength and depth and maybe players don't get as many opportunities in the first team at Leinster that could be playing for other Irish provinces and maybe in the first team of other Irish provinces?
I think Leo Cullen will claim that there isn't. But we have an unhealthy situation where Leinster has become the cash cow and the other three provinces have just popped their cards into the machine and get players. It takes a little bit of pressure off the other three provinces in developing their own, and Ulster, I think, are probably the worst defenders in that. But you talk about the number of players that are coming through, and there is a glut of players coming through in the back row, lads like Rowan Quinn and James Callaghan. I don't know where James Callaghan is going to get a game. I really don't, and I thought he was an outstanding player. We back-to-back 20 success, and now we're at a point where the IRFU really need a fifth wheel on the wagon. They really need to find another option. And I spoke earlier on about how the Saffers would love to get into London. I could see a situation where a franchise is set up and we would get into bed with South Africa or whoever and put in 10, 11 players who can't get game time in our system into that. And obviously they remain Ireland qualified and you have a degree of control over them. But we are at a situation now where we can't give enough games to the number of players we have. And yet, we don't have enough X-factor players. And Luke mentioned Balakun. For me, I thought it was part of the reason we don't get to the last forward World Cups is that we don't have enough absolute X-factor players. We have lots of guys who are very good at what they do. And Balakun, I think, is one of them. Now, whether he you know, is brittle and can't get through a week without pulling some soft tissue injury or whatever, I don't know. But if I was Dave Humphreys coming in now replacing Nusifora, I would be shaking every tree to see where I can get athletes and genetically gifted athletes, because we don't have enough of them.
And quick players.
Well, don't be looking at me for that. I'd say we probably have enough of them, I think. And I think I would agree with you generally on that, Brendan, but I just feel like the strength of Ireland is always going to be the strength of the collective. And I would feel like, I still think Ireland should have won that game against New Zealand, but for a pretty poor mishap close to the line off that maul we were through. Haven't played terribly.
I'm not going to go back to
it. Haven't had a shocking, you know, first.
Not really, it's not the first 15 minutes, so like a 13-0 down.
Shocking stuff, yeah. So look, I still think the strength is with the collective. I love the direction that Ireland have gone, that kind of fitness, that skill-based game. I think there are things that we can always deliver in Ireland. You think of the background that we have in terms of Gaelic football, hurling, all those things.
Do you play football, soccer?
No, never played soccer. Played football and hurling, but yeah. But I just think all the skills that Irish people have developed and all the games they play all the way up, fitness and skills are things that we can always hang our hat on, or should always have been able to hang our hat on, when you think of, as I said, that background. And I think that's what this team is really great about. You know, if I think of this Leinster team and I think of the Irish team over the last number of years, where I think they've gone to is that kind of really smart game plan that's built on beautiful handling, I think, from 1 to 15 or 23. And I think that fitness level that they're able to have, and they also have great depth on the bench as well, so they can continue to play that game for 80 minutes, where we weren't always able to do that. So that, to my mind, is probably the strength of the team. I would agree it's nice to always have an X-factor player like a Pinot or someone like that, where you haven't played great. You think of South Africa against France, where there's just a few moments where France make a tiny error and all of a sudden one of the wingers is in under the post, you know, a drop kick or something. We probably haven't got that type of a top-end pace like a Balakun would provide, maybe, but I think what's repeatable for us is where we've been going, is that really smart game plan, really, everyone's kind of involved in it, 1 to 15. You know, all you think of that Irish pack, there's not one of them that can't handle the ball brilliantly well. And I think that's where I'd be going. I wouldn't be looking for, I think we've got some pretty good athletes, but maybe we'll never have You know, some of the, you know, you think of some of the Islander guys that New Zealand seemed to pick up over the years. Like there's unbelievable athletes there that we would probably never have. So I wouldn't be going down an area we couldn't repeat. I think we're going the right direction personally.
I suppose we look at Irish and you look at Ireland rugby the last couple of years, who are our standout players? You know, we talk about James and Gibbon Park, we talk about Bundiaki, we talk about James Lowe, we talk about Mack Hansen, and I think, you know, we realise they probably didn't come through the Irish system. So I agree what the lads have said, but I think Humphreys will be clever enough to look outside of what's there at the moment.
Provincial academies.
Yeah, like what we have, we definitely provide and nurture excellent rugby players. But what we've realised is over the last couple of years that we are there but not getting over the line. So it's, can we find a few more of those X-factor players that'll get us over the line combined with our skillful, talented players? And I think that's probably going to be the main one going forward, is that we get the combination of we have to be willing to look elsewhere. Every other country's doing it. England looking elsewhere. Italy have looked elsewhere. New Zealand look elsewhere. If we can find a player elsewhere, we'll do that. And then we also have to nurture what's inside our own systems. I do think that they have to look at Leinster. Like, you can't have your first, you know, your potential four Irish out halves within one province, and then have a province, you know, up north who don't have a 10. Yeah. You know,
that's completely, I completely agree on that one.
And I think
Frawley is the perfect example there for me. Like, you know,
numerous times I said about the Burns brothers, they're really good rugby players, but they don't play enough rugby. So if they're not going to be first, second, third choice for Leinster, you have to be willing to go elsewhere to play rugby. Because no matter how hard you train or how good you lift in the gym, et cetera, if you're not on a pitch making decisions week in, week out, you're not going to be good enough then to play for your country. And that's probably where I think there's an issue there. It's, you know, as you said,
would you do that though? Would you? So I think completely differently about it. I think if I think of Ireland team over the last number of years, I always think our best player is the Irish guy. Our best player is Johnny Sexton, Paul O'Connell.
Sorry, I'm not saying that.
I think it undermines. Like the academies by going that direction. Like, I would say some of Ulster's problems might be rooted in that they're looking for Vermeulens and these people abroad, where I think Leinster actually generally, they supplement maybe one really good person here and there. And I think they've generally made mistakes when they've looked too broadly, too far afield, where I think we have huge amount of talent here that you wouldn't want to see sitting on the sidelines. I think if you give them opportunities with the right coaching staffs and the right culture. And I just feel like we've got a brilliant setup here. I think we're missing out on opportunities here. We're not looking close enough. Like Balakoon, Zeebos, all these guys, you know, like, I know Hansen is probably, you know, he's got the Irish grandparents and that. But like, you know, I would say those people are very close to the team too, you know, and I'd say they have X factor. I think there's plenty of Irish guys like that who have that top end pace.
But do you not worry that it's our Leinster province is obviously the cash cow or the main provider. Then you have Munster who hold their own. Connacht on a good day can be very good, but on another day can just as likely be poor. And then whatever's happening in Ulster has to be figured out. Like, we talk about the Welsh rugby, that they've lost the control of their teams, and that's what's happening in Welsh rugby. Unless we get our fourth province sorted, and as you said, if we can bring in a fifth team, that'd be amazing. But I'm not saying to reduce what we have. Yes, our pathways are brilliant, but we have to be open-minded to find our Mack Hansons, to find our James Lowe's, to bring in our Bundys. They, like, those four players have transformed Irish rugby in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I don't know. See, I would think Robbie Henshaw could be in Bundiaki's position. Now, he's had a few injuries in that, but, you know, I would say all of the positions that you've kind of named, all those people, I think there's Irish players that could easily, within the system. And we're talking about now, like, having a fifth team. You know, are creating something like that, whereas I don't think we need that. I think we've got four that we don't resource properly, if you ask me honestly. And I would say you need to start pushing people around out of Leinster. There's brilliant players in Leinster there who are sitting there lifting weights in the gym, not playing enough rugby. Seriously. And I don't think this was a big problem until they changed the format of the league, because these people still got, you know,
plenty of game time.
So I would say, you know, we have to make up our mind what we're doing. Like, are we making a fifth team because we you know, we're not getting enough people game time that are sitting on benches? Are we actually looking abroad because we don't have enough here? I think we do have enough here. We're just not resourcing them in the right places.
Brendan,
personally,
I think rugby in this country needs to reflect the population that we now have. And in the last 20, 25 years, the culture in this country, we are more cosmopolitan. We have more players of colour. We have more players, more people from all over the world who have brought lots to our system. And we're still very driven by what we do. And we do it very well. Look at our schools' cups, particularly the Leinster Schools' Cup. is a very good breeding ground for what comes later, because it is absolutely, you know, savagely competitive. But we need to get a more diverse range of player into our system. That will really top it off. And I 100% agree with Jackie. You absolutely need to keep the door open as well to picking up qualified players from overseas. You don't flood the system and destroy morale, but you drop in a couple here or there if they're good enough, and if we don't have enough in that area ourselves. We're not a big operation, John. You know, we're not a France, we're not an England who have telephone numbers to deal with. They you know, it's no wonder they can produce the number of huge players that they can, because they're picking from a huge population. We aren't.
And then it can recover then if they go through tricky spells more.
Well, that'll be interesting now what happens to France, because they're in a state of shock. They got into the Badlands in Paris and got lads playing rugby who wouldn't have been playing rugby previously. And they've increased their depth, and they thought they were absolutely locked and loaded going to the World Cup. So A, they bomb at the World Cup, and then B, they bomb at the Six Nations. And now they're thinking, oh, have we missed a trick here? What have we done wrong?
Peter Mahoney, it might be the end. He was non-committal, but very open still at the press conference last weekend after the Scotland game. Whether he goes or not, I mean, he's nothing to prove, really. And it was good to see him get the hands on the silverware last week.
Yeah, probably more so even last year, I think, with Munster. I think that one probably, I wonder, does that naturally bring him to this place where he's thinking, I wonder, is it time to just to walk away now? And obviously then he tops it off with the Six Nations. Really, really good guy. Great to have around the setup. Very, very...
Could you, because you were there in his early stage of his career, so you would have noticed leadership qualities, you noticed...
Oh yeah, absolutely. Now, he was a younger guy kind of when I was there as well, more kind of new to the setup, but he certainly had that kind of gruffness that he's probably known for now. I always found him a great personality, and a great player too, alongside that, a real leader in Munster, and through some fairly difficult periods as well, and in an Irish shirt has been fantastic. You know, I mean, I think, you know, one of Ireland's great traits has been over the last maybe 10 to 15 years that line out. He is a seriously specialist operator. Like, he's world class, amazing to be world class at something, and he is world class at defensive line outs. And I think that's something maybe we don't talk enough about or appreciate enough about him, because it's been a real important part of Ireland's game plan for a long time. But he is a brilliant athlete too. It's amazing how long he's been going and how many injuries he's had over the years, how abrasive he is, and to still be going. So he can be very proud of what he's achieved. He can walk away, as you said, head high after a brilliant career if he does decide to call it time. But I'm not necessarily sure he has to. You know, I think there's probably still a role there for him if he wants it. But, you know, oftentimes when you're thinking about retiring, maybe that is probably an apt enough time to go, because it's a pretty physical game out there. You need to be, you know, fully committed, not be thinking, oh, what's the next thing? Or, you know, you need to be fully into it, you know. And no doubt he would if he decides to stay on, but just, you know, sometimes I think that's naturally a good time to call it a day if you're thinking about it.
Was it a culture shock for you when you hung up the jersey?
Massive. Got it. Huge. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you go from being like, you know, say Ireland, I always talk about this as kind of simplify it down. Like, if you're playing for Ireland when you finish, now I wasn't always, but say I was, Ireland is generally a top five team in the world. So if you're playing for the team, you're the top five at something in the world. You know that kind of way? That's how it's. And then you go, I went from there to being an intern at AIB. So you were going, like, they used to call me the daddy grad when I got into the grad rotation. Yeah, so it's a huge change. It's a big challenge. I do think
rugby... Does it challenge your confidence?
Massively. Oh, like, huge inferiority complex all the way through your first period in a business career, 100%. People who are... I think you have such a high... You're so good at what you do, I think, when you're playing professional rugby, playing for Ireland or whatever you're doing, that sometimes you don't appreciate there's people who are great at all walks of life. I think we all know that. You come across interesting people in all walks who are just really, really great at what they do as well. Sometimes you don't appreciate that because you're just in such a bubble. But it is intimidating then when you go and meet these people. I certainly have found that challenging. I think everyone finds it challenging when they leave. You know, I think there is lots of people who are willing to help you though. And rugby and sports generally, particularly team sports, does equip you very well. I think once you can settle down and give yourself a bit of breathing space and not be so hard on yourself when you finish, I think it equips you really well to actually be, you know, very effective in what is a second career for lots of people, I think. So, yeah, it took me a while, but...
Did your dad give you much advice, did he?
Oh, he's always given me advice. Yeah.
I listen to it now as next thing.
Yeah, I probably should have, regretting not maybe listening to it a bit more. But I was definitely unprepared for it. I thought, like, I had been messing around with college and all that kind of stuff. So some people are way more prepared leaving than I was. So that was a real shock for me and definitely a worry. But yeah, it's still probably, I think even people who I think, geez, that guy was so well qualified, such a smart person, you know, had done all the college degrees, masters and all that kind of stuff before they finished and still found it very challenging. So it's a big culture shock.
Because the money is compared to professional football, Premier League, is like they're set up for life, whereas rugby players are, they're well remunerated when they're playing, but then they got to have something new.
Oh, you certainly do. Yeah, yeah. There'd be a few people who'd be able to kind of stick around the area, you know, in terms of, you know, speaking engagements and all that kind of stuff. Not my experience. And I certainly made some terrible decisions, some terrible financial decisions when things were good, that I regret now, having refurbed my house recently and completely on the bare bones. So I wish I had made a few better decisions earlier on myself. And I always, you know, if you ever get a chance to say it to any of the young lads, say, listen, just prepare yourself. You just don't know when it's going to end. And I had periods then where, you know, I had a year out of the game and you got into 30% pay and stuff like that. So I was kind of playing catch up all that, like through different periods as well. So I actually didn't come out in unbelievably good shape, I wouldn't have thought. But
are there support structures there that could be better maybe around that?
It's very difficult. Like, I mean, where do you draw a line there?
Like, everybody finishes people want in different ways. And
some people come from a good background of that and, you know, get good advice. Some people don't. People don't want to talk about their money situation. You know, it's a real sensitive area. Yeah. So where do you insert yourself in? I think you have to provide it. And I think it is there.
People come to you then, yeah.
You have to wait for them to come to you, I think, yeah.
7-3 to France.
Yeah. Yeah, scored a quick try there by France, but really good kick penalty by Nick O'Reilly there. They're under a bit of pressure, but they're playing well. I'm glancing at it as I listen to the conversation. But yeah, look, great turnover there. Good defence. Still early days, though. But France are getting the offloads off. But no, Ireland are defending really well. It's a big hit on the big hit there, yeah.
Men's team have South Africa. Will South Africa be taking this very seriously, Brendan, in the summer?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Razzie?
Yeah, big time. Big time. It'll be a completely different vibe, I guess, to two summers ago when Ireland went to New Zealand, and that really kick-started everything.
Yeah.
But if you've ever been down to South Africa, and Lucas had his scary moments, as I recall, with the Lions.
Really cost me an eye, if I remember.
Yeah. I remember that day. There was a bad, bad atmosphere in Loftus that day. It's a scary place to go. There's no doubt about it.
They were throwing beer cans at us on the way in. It was hilarious. Yeah. They're all having their barbecues kind of outside the stadium. Great atmosphere. Like, unbelievable place to play rugby. Unforgettable experience, I think, if you're a rugby player, you know, playing away tours in South Africa is where it's at, 100%. So it's a real treat for them. I think they got a bit of medicine, I think, during the Six Nations around game plan. I think it'll actually stand to them, because I think this group is really introspective and can really assess.
What will they be working on then, you think? Yeah.
Well, I think their exit strategy is one that sticks out to me. I think line out is an obvious one too. I thought they got, you know, a little bit, they struggled a little bit towards the middle to latter part of the competition there. Can't imagine Paul O'Connell doesn't get that right quickly for South Africa, so I expect them to be better there. And I think game plan, I think the second half against Scotland was pretty telling for me. I thought they were way more direct in that second half. And I think this is what that team needs to be. I think sometimes they can fall in love with all the skills because they have great skills and they can try and pass their way around teams. But you do still have to do the hard yards and earn that kind of right to go around teams. You always hear rugby players saying that. I'm a big believer in that. And I think sometimes they shouldn't underestimate that physicality. This team can be very, very physical. And they've got a great bench, so they can go really hard for 80 minutes. So I think that's going to be very important. That second half in Scotland, there's lots for them to learn in that. And I think if they get those other bits right around exiting, not overusing low, and get the line out right, they'll be right in it down there. I think this Irish team is brilliant. Like, I think they just beat South Africa in the World Cup.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a real test for them. And they're gunning for them.
It'll be interesting to see. Andrew Goodman,
new attack coach, yeah,
will nearly certainly go on that tour.
Okay.
And I think he will have looked at our attack shape and think, yeah, we do need to tighten things up. They were, I wouldn't say they were found out, but they were consistently hit behind the gain line on backdoor options that previously were giving them yards at a time. And they are going to have to tweak that. So it'll be interesting to see what he brings. And, you know, what a tough place to do is South Africa. Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously England's defence against them was worked successfully, and that was led by Felix, ex-South African defence coach. So it's interesting that the philosophy that England had against Ireland, which was come up really hard on Bundy, which is usually our get out of jail card, that was knocked out. So it's will we have an option B there? You know, we know we can go front door, we know we can go around, but it's making sure that we can manipulate the two options there, because defensively South Africa will be mad for ball, and they'll meet us with big collisions. The breakdown will be so exciting to see what happens there. We know we've got Tadhg Byrne, we know we've got Caelan Dorris there, but they equally have unbelievable back rowers that can get their hands on the ball. So super exciting rugby to look forward to, see what happens.
Will Jack Nienaber's imprint on Leinster kind of feed into Ireland as well, do you feel?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it'll be challenging for some of them to actually go back to a more kind of, I'm not going to say, it's just a little bit less aggressive. They still have a pretty aggressive defensive line, but that might be a change for them. It seems to be a bit, like, I look at it and I think it's a bit wild, but I hear from everyone behind the scenes that he's like a super smart guy. You know, they're learning loads from him. So it's not just wild, everyone like running off the line as hard as they can every single time. So I'm sure there's a bit more thought behind it, but I'd say it's difficult to adapt to a different setup from that. You know, it seems like it takes massive. He talked about, I think, did he say 14 games or 14 weeks? I think he was saying it's going to take for it to bed in. So it's clearly not just a fitness thing. It's you know, there's a good bit of thinking behind it. Yeah. So that might be challenging for them, but it might give them some insight. And do you know where it actually might help them? It might help them in training, because I think if those Leinster guys will be training against that a lot. Mm. And I wonder, will that kind of get them used to making decisions under a little bit more pressure? And I wonder, will that help them a little bit down there versus maybe will it actually help Ireland's defence, if you know what I mean?
Will they win the Champions Cup, Leinster, this year, do you think?
Yes, I think they will this year. Yeah, right. I think they do it this year, yeah. You know, a few key guys for them, I think. I think Ryan coming back, yeah. Heard how highly I regard him. I think he's really key for them. McCarthy's an excellent player, but I still think Ryan is the key piece for Leinster. I think the front row as well. I think once they get that scrummaging thing for like, it seemed like towards the end of the championship that settled down a little bit. That was really, you know, whatever way referees were viewing that was really hamstringing both sides. So hopefully they get that kind of sorted out. But the 1-2 punch at two, there's not many teams that can contain them, I think. So yeah, the pack is the key.
Yeah.
And I think Leinster go all the way. Yeah.
Do you think that, Brent?
Yeah. Look, I look at Leinster's resources and I look at the way they prepare, and like everybody else, I have very high expectations for them. And I genuinely hope that they can do it, because it'll become a bit of a screw in their head if they don't get over that line. I mean, 2018 feels like, you know, another lifetime.
6 years ago now, yeah. Who's going to be the Irish coach? Will it be Simon Easterby next year, will it, when Andy Farrell's on? Maybe Simon Easterby, will it, or Paul O'Connell when Andy Farrell goes on his journey with the Lions?
They'll take over.
Okay. Brendan Fanning, rugby writer, Jackie Shields and Luke Fitzgerald, former Irish internationals, thank you so much for giving us such great insight over the last hour and good fun on the Dove panel. And enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thank you very much.